To be looking at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. With this being Father's Day, not just for fathers, but for parents, mothers, and fathers, I'm sure that there has been a moment of time in raising children where you have gotten to the point where maybe you didn't verbally say it this way, maybe you found a nicer way to say it, but something inside of you was saying, "What were you thinking?" Do you ever have that cross your mind? And maybe not even just with the kids that you're parenting, maybe with your spouse, maybe with, you know, what were you thinking? And the reason that we say that at times is because from our perspective, we're looking at this going, well, that was dumb. I really don't understand why you did that. Why did you actually do that? That doesn't make any sense at all. And one of the things my father had done in the past is one time, there was just maybe one, maybe two, maybe three. His one of his perfect reactions to me a lot of times, especially when I was in high school, when he would find out what took place or what happened, it would get to that stage as he's walking away from me, like he couldn't believe that I went that far, went that direction. Why do I say this? Well, I say that because that is exactly the attitude that Paul has with the church at Galatia. Paul is telling the Galatian church, he's telling them, what are you thinking? What has happened? You know better than to act this way. You know better than to believe this way. And in the beginning of the chapter that we read in chapter 3, verse 1, he starts pretty much screaming at them, and he says, who has bewitched you? What made you think that Christ was not it? Because what Paul came to teach, Paul came to preach that Christ was salvation. There was no salvation outside of Christ, outside of Jesus and his crucifixion. That's it. Jesus' crucifixion and him conquering death, that is salvation, nothing else. The problem with the Galatian church was they believed it at first, but then they started to be deceived, and others started to come in and say, well, you know what? The law did teach us this, speaking of the Mosaic law. The law taught us we should do this, so maybe we should start doing that again. And so what they did was they kind of did a mix. They kind of took, okay, we hear what Paul said. We've accepted Christ. We're following Christ. We believe he's the way to salvation, crucifixion. He conquered death. Yes, we get that. But you know what? They're telling us about the law that we used to be under. And you know what? I think that's not a bad thing. The law isn't a bad thing. And in fact, that's how you actually become holy, because of the law. Because the main issue through the whole book was the issue of circumcision. And the whole idea of circumcision from the Old Testament was it was a demonstration of being clean. It was a demonstration of being connected to God. It was a demonstration that you are one of God's chosen people. But then Jesus came. It wasn't necessary anymore to follow that. And that's what Paul's saying. And what they were doing is they were mixing it together. They were saying, yeah, Jesus is the way to salvation, but it's not just Jesus. It can also be this as well. And we can put this in and that'll work. And Paul was absolutely livid with them. How dare you throw away everything that I've taught you? Why are you going back to the Mosaic law? Don't you understand that Christ came so that we wouldn't have to be under the law anymore? That was the whole reason. And why are you going back? The story's been told, and I'm sure you've heard it before, about the gentleman who was in prison for 50 years. 50 years, and finally the day came, they were letting him out. And they went and they unlocked the door and they said, there you go, you're free, go out to the world. And he didn't budge. And they said, don't you want to go out? You've been here for 50 years. What's going on? It's freedom. You have freedom. And he said, I have no idea what's out there. I'll be better staying here. I know what's here. I know when I eat. I know I would rather stay. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? You would rather stay in prison? Well, that's kind of what the church at Galatia was saying. We would rather stay in prison. The door's open. You can be free. Well, we kind of want to go back to this. Now, when I was growing up, one of the thoughts that I had, and several of my peers had as well, was if there was a formula for being a Christian, if there was a formula that defined Christianity, we had it down when I was growing up. I knew it. I grew up in the church. I knew what the formula was. It was very simple. Very simple. Yes, you pray, read your Bible, go to church, and be a good person. Those four things, you're in, right? Pray, read your Bible, go to church, be a good person, you're in. That's all you have to do. Pray, read your Bible, go to church, be a good person. That's all you have to do. You're in, right? And then, of course, as I grew up, I realized that there was a lot more to it than that, that one of the things that is true about the Scripture, especially in the New Testament, is that it's not the idea of checking a box. It's not the idea of, okay, God, tell me what I have to do. Here's a list of do's. Here's a list of don'ts. Make sure you do this. Make sure you don't do this. And then you're in. And then you check it off, and that's it. But it seems like those type of things can actually replace the law of circumcision in their day and our day to the point that we would say that kind of the same thing of, well, yeah, Jesus is the way and Jesus is the one who gives us salvation, his death and resurrection. Absolutely, that's the only way. He's the only way to have salvation. But, you know, we kind of mix in a couple other things as well. And we kind of mix this in of, yeah, but, you know, you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to. And basically, it comes to the place where what they were thinking was, going back under the Mosaic law, was the way they could earn their salvation. Earn their salvation. Write that down. Earn their salvation. But what they learned from Paul was, it is impossible for you to earn your salvation. Have you ever tried? Have you ever tried to earn your salvation? On your own power, on your own strength, that is. Have you ever done it? Have you ever tried to be holy, 100%? Have you ever tried to be godly, 100%? Have you ever got up in the morning and said, today I'm going to be godly. Today I'm going to be holy. Yeah, I messed up yesterday, but not today. And how's that working out for you? How holy are you? Or should I ask the person sitting next to you, how holy are they? But we have to be careful. Let me just pause for one moment. Caution, you know, traffic lights. Now the yellow light comes up. Okay, caution. There's always a caution in every message. You know, caution. There's a caution. Because we could take this to the extreme, and many have taken it to the extreme, which means, well, if that's true, hey, Jesus is the only way to salvation. It's because of his crucifixion. It's because of his death, and I can't do it anyway, and I can't earn my salvation anyway, so all I have to do is just say, yeah, I'm following Jesus, and yes, I'm serving Christ, and that's all that matters. That means I can do whatever I want because I'm in. I'm not in because of me. I'm in because of Jesus, so I can do whatever I want. So it doesn't matter how I act. Doesn't matter how I talk. Doesn't matter what my attitude is. Doesn't matter if I kill somebody. No big deal, right? So I can just do whatever I want. That's always the danger when we have this discussion. It's always the danger. We always end up with somebody saying, well, it doesn't matter then what I do, because I'm covered by the blood, I'm covered by the cross. And in fact, there's an old comic strip from years ago that I think came out in the 1950s, was a guy who was drinking something he shouldn't be drinking or smoking something he shouldn't be smoking, whatever it might have been, some sin that he at least was involved in, and he was holding the cross up as the shield, like, hey, I'm covered, I can do whatever I want. See, this is where we need to understand that, correct, Paul is teaching them, you are no longer under the bondage of the Mosaic law, but you are still under a law. Really? Yes. And what is that? You are now under the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? Well, let me ask you, let's look at his life and teachings. Did Jesus ever talk about behavior? Did he ever tell you how you should act? Did he ever tell you how you should treat others? See, this isn't a, well, hey, I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. I'm holding up the cross. I can do whatever I want, live however I want. It doesn't matter. No. Jesus had, because his life and teachings, just from his life, what do we learn? Well, we see Jesus just from his life. We see somebody who's selfless. We see somebody who's a servant. We see somebody who is stern about sin when he gives the woes to the Pharisees. Those are just examples. So we see how Jesus is, and that is what we are to be like. And then we have his teachings. And what did Jesus teach? Well, this is under the Christ law, following Christ law, not the Mosaic law. You are to what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love. Agape love, which is the selfless love, which means you're not loving because you're getting anything in return. That's Christ's law. Christ's law, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how do I do that? Look at Jesus. He'll show you how. Jesus demonstrates it. That's how he was. He loved. He gave of himself all the way to the cross. He also taught some other things, and these are some things we don't like to hear, but he did teach. He also taught, if you lust, you committed adultery already. He also taught that if you hate, you murdered. He said, you have heard that it was said, but I tell you. So there's no way we can go under the New Testament law, under the law of Christ, and say, well, I can do whatever I want because Christ covered it. No, we still have the law of Christ that guides us to be what he desires us to be. Now, having said that, the main issue is that we need to get away from the idea of earning our salvation, which is what Paul is after here in this passage. And so when we look at this passage again and we see what Paul is saying, if we can back it up to the beginning, but before faith came, we were kept. Yeah, it had to be you. I knew it was you back there. Everybody turn around and give her a hand, please. She does a great job, doesn't she? Yeah. She knew I'd call her out on that. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith, which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor. In other words, it's the purpose of the law is what? Is to bring us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. Next slide. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And so he's coming at them now, and he's saying, this is what it's all about. Give up the law. Stop trying to go back to the Mosaic law. Stop trying to earn your salvation. Yes, we need to obey Christ. We're under the law of Christ. We need to live according to what Christ teaches us. Absolutely, his life and teachings. But stop going back to, I have to earn this. Saw a quote this week that stuck out in my mind. It's actually one of the books that the kids are reading, and I don't know if I can get it exact. It's probably paraphrased, but he was talking about religion, and this was written years ago, and he said that the problem with a lot of people when it comes to religion, he said that they can't enjoy the pleasures of sin because they know that it's wrong. But they also don't enjoy serving Christ because they haven't gone in all the way. He said, which makes them bitter. Which makes them bitter Christians, bitter followers, because they haven't gone in all the way. So we can't have this, and we haven't gone all the way in here. And so it kind of makes us, and that's kind of where you are when you're under the law and when you're checking it off. And I mean, look at where the law led them. Look at what happened. By the time Jesus stepped in, what's going on? You have the Pharisees, and what are they? They're holy. They're the holy ones. They're the ones that everybody should look up to. They're the ones that know scripture. They're the ones that understand everything. The holy Pharisees. And they weren't loving. They weren't welcoming. They weren't forgiving. I'm sorry, they were jerks. they even killed God, so that kind of tells us Jesus comes in the flesh of God, and they killed him. That kind of tells us where they were. The law didn't get them anywhere but just angry and bitter and frustrated. And And no love was found there. And Paul is telling them, you don't need this anymore because of Christ. You don't need to check the box off. You don't need to try to earn your salvation anymore. So what does all this mean then? Well, I would suggest to you the conclusion for today, and don't get excited because I said conclusion, but it may happen, we'll see. Now, I would suggest that the conclusion for today is this. Three words. Thank you, Jesus. Three words. Say that with me, please. Thank you, Jesus. And why? Because Jesus came, left his throne, he walked this earth, he went to the cross, he suffered and died. He experienced pain, the physical pain, the ridicule, the abandonment, everything that he went through. He stayed on the cross, and we know from Scripture he didn't have to. At any point, he could have said, I'm done. Send the legion of angels to take me because I'm not going through with this. But he didn't. He stayed on the cross, and he stayed there. Why? He stayed there so that you would not need to any longer come under this checking the box, bitter scene of I'm earning my own. He stayed there for you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's another aspect to this, if we continue reading, which is very exciting. If you look at this, the next thing that happens at verse 27, he says, for all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Next slide. There is neither, and this is the best part, this should get you to jump out of your chair right now. Okay, I'll wait. All right. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to his promise. You know what that means? You're in. Well, you don't even know me. I don't have to. According to that passage, you're in. Well, you don't know my past. Doesn't matter. Well, you don't know my background. Doesn't matter. You don't know how bad my sins were. Doesn't matter. Well, I wasn't raised in the church. Doesn't matter. I don't even know the Bible. Doesn't matter. I've never been good. Doesn't matter. This right here is Paul screaming. This is for everybody. And it doesn't matter if you're one of God's chosen people or not. Doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. Doesn't matter if you follow the Mosaic law or not. It doesn't matter what this is for everybody. When Jesus came, there was so much division. So much division. Have you noticed division in our world today? There was so much division when Jesus came. It was just split right down the middle, though. I mean, it was just clear cut. You had these over here, and you had these over here. You had the clean over here, and you had the unclean over here. The godly over here, the ungodly over there. And you had the God's chosen people over here, the not God's chosen people over there. And all the people over here would say is, well, it's a shame. I'm glad I was born in this line. And all they were over here saying was, I have no hope because I wasn't born in that line. I didn't have that lineage. Jesus comes, and what does he do? He says, hey, you know what? I came for those over here, the godly, the God's chosen people, and I also came for the ungodly, God's not chosen people, and I'm bringing them all together, and it's a level playing field, and not one of you is better than the other. And that's why Paul's livid, saying, why do you want to go back to this? Because Jesus came, so Jesus came for you. For you. Some of you probably remember this, but I remember growing up, there was a popular song. And if I remember right, there were a lot of revivals that I went to as a kid. You know, revivals, anybody here remember revival services that would go a week long? Sometimes it was one we had that went 2 weeks long. You know, camp meeting services, all those. I went to a lot of those growing up, and And, you know, it was always kind of the same scenario. At the end of the service, there'd be an altar call. People would come forward, whether they got saved or draw closer to God, and people come down and pray with them. And then at the end, afterwards, everybody would stand up, and everybody was excited because God was really there and God was really moving. And it was almost always, they would always break out into this one song that was probably the most popular, probably still is one of the most popular. And by the way, just in case anybody's wondering, the most popular song ever written, the one that has been recorded more times than any other song, is Amazing Grace. Thank you, Jesus. Most popular song in history is Amazing Grace. But that's not the song I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Joint heirs with Jesus. Remember that part of the song? Joint heirs. As a kid, I remember I had no idea what that meant. I used to sing, I think it was joined heirs or something. I had no idea what it meant. Joint heirs. What does that mean? Well, you know what an heir is. They take the inheritance. You leave something to somebody else. You die. You get the inheritance from the will, and you are one of their heirs, and it's passed down to you. Like the royal family, the heir becomes king, if he ever will become king. You know, that whole thing, that takes place. That's what an heir, an inheritance kind of thing is. And that song, it was so clear, and that scripture saying, joint heirs with Jesus. As we travel this sod, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Joint heirs with Jesus. What does that mean? What Jesus gets, you deserve. Whew. I don't deserve. Yeah, that's why he came. He came so that he would be on the, you are a son of God, and the way Jesus is treated, you're treated, and you're on the same level, joint heirs with Jesus. And so if all of us are joint heirs with Jesus, then I would suggest that none of us thinks that any of us are over anybody else. And might I also suggest that if there's one way to ruin a Christian walk, and if there's one way to ruin a Christian community, it's Jesus came for all. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with us, please, today? Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for who you are. We do come before you today, and we thank you because you did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And Lord, if there is one message that any of us get today, I pray that the one thing all of us would remember today was that you went to the cross for each and every one of us, and that you did that for every single person here. There isn't one of us that's outside of your love. Doesn't matter about our background, doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter about our history, doesn't matter what we've faced, doesn't matter where we come from, what our lineage is, what our race is. It doesn't, none of that, absolutely none of that matters. You came for all, and you love each of us the same. And Jesus, forgive us today for every time we thought anything different about what it means to serve you. But Jesus, most of all, I pray today for anybody here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray, Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation, and today would be the day they would say, Jesus, show me what this means. And Jesus, we know that you will be faithful to do so. And we ask all these things in your name. And as we sing this closing song, I just want to invite you, if there's anybody here that needs prayer for any reason, but specifically, if there's anybody here who says, Chad, I want to do that. Chad, I want to follow Jesus. I just don't know how. I don't know where to begin. I want you to come down during this song and just meet me down here, and we'll pray together, and we will welcome you as Jesus does. Let's sing together.